Hello and welcome to Physics with me. I am Alex. Today we are going to start off with the various important thermodynamical concepts and terms which may also be helpful in learning statistical physics in future. Thermodynamics is made up of two words, you can say, as a thermal part and the dynamics part. In thermal part, we consider that this is a thermal energy rather than the kinetic and mechanical energy which you have studied in mechanics, and electrostatic energy or electromagnetic energy in your electrodynamic course. And dynamics means either storage, supply, or usage of that energy. So as you can perceive here, that thermodynamics is not a simple thing. It is the point of industrial revolution, after which it emerges and goes on to till now, where we are still using thermodynamical rules and trying to perceive universe in its way. Thermodynamics, now in the form of statistical mechanics, is used to study black holes and the radiation emitted by it. And there are lots of important and surprising and really amazing things which thermodynamics or statistical mechanics, which is the more broader aspect of thermodynamics, will help you to learn and understand. While trying to figure out what thermodynamics means, I came up with this term, thermal energy. What do I mean by thermal energy is a very intuitive idea which everybody knows. This is heat. So what is heat? You cannot say that a body has a certain amount of heat or a certain heat energy, because heat is a relative thing which we measure by trying to put another object in the contact of the first object and then figuring out that how much heat it can give to the second object so that they will come into equilibrium. And now I came up with another term, equilibrium. So you can say equilibrium is a form of balance between two objects. But what sort of balance? And here comes the term temperature. So to balance the temperature is what is known as thermal equilibrium. Heat then is a form of thermal energy in transit. Temperature will be what a doctor says something which you measure with a thermometer, or here by our definition of two objects in contact, temperature is a thing that's same for any two object after they have been in contact for a long time. So the long time is what you can say is the relaxation time, which means the time required for a system to come to thermal equilibrium. In a more professional or a physicist form of way, one can say that thermodynamics has this concept of thermodynamical equilibrium, which is made up of three types of equilibrium. First is thermal equilibrium, in which energy between any two systems in contact is exchanged. Second is mechanical equilibrium, in which volume between any two systems in contact changes. And lastly comes the diffusive equilibrium, which is also called chemical equilibrium, in which particles between any two systems exchange till they achieve equilibrium, which means no energy, no volume, or no particles can further be exchanged overall, which means there is a net zero exchange of these quantities, hence thermodynamical equilibrium. The notion of temperature can be more thoroughly understood by the use of zeroth law of thermodynamics, which states that if two systems, each separately in thermal equilibrium with a third system, which means if you say A is a system and C is a system, and B is another system, then if A is in thermal equilibrium with B and C is separately in thermal equilibrium with B, then A and C are in thermal equilibrium with each other. This simple statement can be thought of as a characterization of how thermometer will work. And if you are wondering what thermodynamic system means, then I can say is this is a certain portion of universe, which means, say, if you are looking in thin air and you create a mental boundary in thin air, or say a cube, a three-dimensional cube, then that is your system. It's that easy as that. So like, system can be anything which you are observing. This mentally created boundary system can be called an open system, because energy and number of particles, I mean gas molecules, are easily exchanged between the system which you are observing and the surrounding, which is everything else. And system plus surrounding will make the universe. Between system and surrounding, you can put on a boundary, and depending upon the type of boundary, you can classify systems as open, closed, or isolated. So open system is energy and particles can be exchanged. Closed system is only energy can be exchanged but no particles. And in a closed, completely isolated system is no energy and particles can be exchanged between system and surrounding. A more easy examples can be, for an open system, the thin air, in which, I mean, the amount of air which you can see from your eyes is your system, and the rest of the air in the universe is your surrounding. So particle and energy can be simultaneously exchanged. For a closed system, you can say a cup of tea which is covered at the top, so no vapors can release from the cup to the surrounding because of the top. And lastly, for an isolated system, you can consider a tea in your thermos flask, in which both energy and number of particles of the system remains same. By the idea of heat exchange between, say, any two system or a system and a surrounding, you may be wondering that how much heat should be exchanged such that the system should increase or decrease its temperature. Accordingly, heat released or heat given to the system by a unit temperature. This idea is called heat capacity of the system, which means the amount of heat which should be supplied to an object or our system so that its temperature changes by a unit in degree Celsius or in Kelvin. Just like in mechanics, to define a state of a system, we find its position or velocity or momentum. Similarly, to define a system, we characterize it with volume, pressure, and temperature. These three variables are paired, and then you can define various laws like Charles' law, Boyle's law, and Avogadro's law, which defines the relation between these variables for a system. And ultimately, you will end up by combining all three laws at the ideal gas law, which is simply pressure times volume is proportional to the temperature of the system, where the equality can be considered of a constant, which is called gas constant. Just like in mechanics, to define a state of a system, we find its position or velocity or momentum. Similarly, to define a system, we characterize it with volume, pressure, and temperature. these three variables are paired, and then you can define various laws like Charles' law, Boyle's law, and Avogadro's law, which defines the relation between these variables for a system. And ultimately, you will end up by combining all three laws at the ideal gas law, which is simply pressure times volume is proportional to the temperature of the system, where the equality can be considered of a constant, which is called gas constant. Similar to heat, there is another form of thermal energy in transit, which is work. Work is defined as any other transfer of energy into or out of the system. For example, if you stir a cup of coffee or a tea, or if you apply potential difference across a resistor, then the current should run through the resistor. This current will apply a form of electrical work over the resistor, which will generate heat energy. So work can be converted into heat. You may be wondering that how much work is different from heat. Heat can be said to be energy flow from a hotter body to a colder body as soon as they touch or come in contact. So it's a spontaneous process. Whereas in work, you'll need an agent which actively put energy into the system. So it won't happen automatically, which means you need a mechanism for it. So unlike heat, flow of energy is not spontaneous here. To think of it, you can say if you rub your hands when you are in cold, then how can you say that heat is entering your hands? There is no heat entering your hands when you rub your hands together. They just warm up somehow. As I have already stated, that heat and work are thermal energy in transit, which means they cannot specify the state for a particular system. But temperature, on the other hand, is specific for a system, and the variables which can be helpful for determining the state of a system are called state variables. Other than temperature, state variable like internal energy is really crucial for determining the state of a system. Internal energy can be thought of as the amount of energy which the particles inside the system possess, which can overall create the whole energy of the system, or label the system with a level of energy which is called internal energy. Internal energy of a system can be changed by supplying heat or doing work. The way of supplying heat can be by the system or to the system, and similarly for work can be done by the system or on the system. The sign convention for heat or workflow is different in many books, so you should find your own sign convention for heat and energy flow in or out of the system, and ultimately this will be helpful to state what is called the first law of thermodynamics, which states that energy is conserved and heat and work are both forms of energy. So internal energy of the system changes with heat and work being applied on or by the system. To define internal energy for the system, I considered that there are particles inside the system, or the particles which are making up the system itself, and I said that those particles sense some sort of energy. Well, to be more precise, you can say that those particles has a degree of freedom, which is a form of energy. Mostly, if the system is consisting of ideal gas, then you can say the particles inside the system has kinetic energy. And according to equipartition theorem, each degree of freedom can be equated to half of Boltzmann constant times the temperature. Thus, for the ideal gas, you can simply say the internal energy for the system is equivalent to the average kinetic energy of the system. One of the examples which I mentioned earlier is the conversion of electrical energy into heat by supplying current to a resistor. So can you reverse the experiment, which means if I supply heat to the resistor, can that heat will generate current in the circuit? Can it be possible? Or if you say, if I bring a brick from the ground to a top floor of some building, and then the amount of work done which I require to bring that brick to the top floor of the building, and then as soon as I drop the brick and it falls on the ground, and that work gets converted into heat energy which gets dissipated into the atmosphere. So if I apply that heat energy to the brick, can the brick will jump by itself to gain that much height again? Can it be possible? I don't think so. In both these processes, the total energy remains conserved, which means the first law of thermodynamics is still valid, but the process is not. But why? Where is the problem here? Is thermodynamics not suitable to explain real life phenomena? Well, here comes the rescue, the second law of thermodynamics. The main notion behind the second law is there exists a fundamental asymmetry in nature for conversion of energy, more importantly heat energy. So a hot object can cool to room temperature, but room temperature objects cannot heat up on their own. Similarly, bouncing balls comes to rest, or ice cream melts while you eat it. So work can be converted fully into energy or heat, but heat cannot be completely converted into work. This is also known as Kelvin's statement of second law of thermodynamics, in which if a machine is doing work by taking heat from a source and then converting into work completely, that type of machine does not exist. Similarly, a machine does not work which can take heat from a cold source and supply it to a hot source without any work being done over the machine. But how do we see that when is any process is possible or not? To solve this problem, we come up with entropy, a state function which can be helpful to know when a system is allowed or not, according to the second law of thermodynamics. So entropy will be a state function or a property of state that tells us whether a particular change of state is allowed by the second law or not, whether it can happen spontaneously or automatically. More commonly, one can say that entropy is equivalent to the disorderness in the system. In thermodynamics, mathematically, the slight change in entropy, which is also stated as dS, equals the slight change in heat energy giving in or out of the system per unit temperature for a reversible process. Assuming that the universe, which is treated as isolated system in itself, the first two laws of thermodynamics can be equivalent to stating that the total internal energy of the universe is constant and the total entropy of the universe can only increase, which means disorderness of the universe will increase with any process with time. The notion of entropy sometimes also be used to define the direction of time, which is always moving forward. reversibility of a thermodynamic cyclic process can be equivalent to stating how Carnot engine works. And according to Carnot theorem, Carnot engine has the maximum efficiency any engine can produce because it is a reversible process engine and can be reversed to its initial state at any step in between. And lastly comes the idea of third law of thermodynamics, which states that the possibility of attaining the zero Kelvin temperature in a finite number of steps is not possible. To more accurate and precise definitions and some rigorous mathematics, you can consult books like Concepts in Thermal Physics by Stephen J. Blundell and Catherine M. Blundell, or Introduction to Thermal Physics by Daniel V. Schroeder. With this, our thermodynamical section is complete. Now we are going to move on to statistical physics in our next episode. Thank you.